Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe Hardman, a TV presenter, a radio broadcaster and a mummy to my beautiful 18-month-old daughter Luna.
And I'm Georgia Dayton. I work in marketing for House of Fraser and I am mum to a little cheeky boy, Axel, who's 19 months old.
And together, we are Made by Mamas. So Georgia and I met in a coffee shop whilst we were both pregnant and living in Cheltenham at the time. And suddenly we kind of found ourselves moving from London, leaving all of our mates, knowing absolutely nobody up there and having our babies. And all I can say is thank God that we met that day.
Indeed.
We spent the next year of motherhood drinking coffee, getting back into shape in the gym, or trying to anyway, and getting through the odd bottle of wine as well, and launching our mummy blog, a place for expectant mums, new mummies or seasoned pros to come and find out all the brands that we were loving, products that we can't live without, and also for help, support, love and impartial, non-judgmental advice.
So on this series, we'll be chatting to some of our favourite celebrity females about their experiences from being pregnant to the birth and the aftermath. We'll have a sleep expert give you all her insider tips on a peaceful nighttime, some much needed beauty tips and products for quick fixes for the busy mummy, baby classes and toys worth investing in, how to travel with a little one, you name it, we will cover it.
I think it's time to get into it, shall we, G?
Let's go.
So this week, we are discussing birth. Take a deep breath.
I do my birth breathing.
Yeah, we're talking about birth. The pinnacle of nearly 10 months of growing a tiny human. And suddenly there is this monumental life-changing moment that you go through. And I guess the question to you is, Georgia, what is your birth story?
I think I should start by saying that before I was pregnant, I was absolutely petrified of hospitals, doctors, needles, anything. I mean, even taking a tablet for me was a big deal. So when I was pregnant, immediately I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to give birth. I genuinely thought that when this moment came, they would have invented something that meant I could be put to sleep and I just wouldn't have to go through any of it. So it was definitely something that I was really scared about. And the further on that I got, the more I looked into it, you know, it is scary. You don't know how it's going to happen. And I didn't have a plan, which was good in the end, because you can't really plan. Because
You didn't have a plan at all?
No, nope. For me, it was just, I'll just see what happens on the day.
Had you done any prep in terms of, have you taken any classes?
I did NCT. Don't think I really learned that much about birth from it, other than that it sounded horrendous. But no, I didn't really. I mean, I didn't. I just thought I'll just see what happens on the day. So it turned out that I had to be induced because I went over, which I think is quite common in your first pregnancy.
How far?
So I was almost 42 weeks and I begged to get induced early because my husband was going to be playing like football in Newcastle somewhere, and he was going to be away if it went to actual, 40 plus 14 days or whatever. So I went in on the Saturday and I was all prepared, you know, had a blow dry, did all that stuff.
Oh, George, of course you did.
Rocked up to the hospital and I was like, oh yes, hi, I'm booked in for my induction at 11:30 or whatever. My mum was laughing, like, you literally turned up like you were going, like, yeah, for a massage. Like, oh, hello, yeah, just coming for my induction. Sat down, they did the pessary induction and they sort of said to me, this probably isn't going to work, but, you know, go off, have something to eat, you know, have a look around the shops.
I got in the supermarket. I'm sorry. You weren't in the supermarket. You were obviously in the hospital.
Yeah,
that's my baby brain.
So I did. So I went down to the cafe in the hospital, and by this time, it was about 10 minutes on, I was already feeling really weird and getting really bad pains.
Contractions, they're called.
Yeah, I didn't really know what they were at the time, but I was just getting stabbing pains. So I thought, oh gosh. So we went for a walk around after I'd had a coffee. And I said, listen, I can't go anywhere. We're going to have to go back up. My mum and James, my husband, thought I was being a complete drama queen. But as we got upstairs, they realised I had gone into labour, like really, really quickly. I'd taken to the induction, or it might have been the sweep. Oh, that's another thing. You know, really quickly. And then after that, I just kind of got through it. Didn't really have any, I didn't even have gas and air until I was about 9 centimetres. I just completely zoned out, which I think is what you learn in hypnobirthing. Mm. But I just obviously just did it. I didn't talk. James and my mum were just reading magazines to me. I just zoned out, took myself to
any
a different
screaming?
Place. No, I didn't make a sound.
Oh my God, not, she's a Scientologist.
Not a sound. I don't know. I feel like I just took myself off. I just didn't want to be there. I didn't even want to be in hospital. Didn't want anything to do with what was going on. I just didn't want to be there. I just wanted it over.
How long was the whole experience?
I think on my notes it says 6 hours.
Oh my God.
So
that's really quick.
It is quick. And I got, I got to 9 centimetres, and then I said, I actually spoke, right, I'm having an epidural. And they said, no, you can't. I said, listen, I'm having an epidural, give me an epidural. And they did. And they obviously got in trouble for it after the chief nurse or chief midwife came in and was like, can't believe you gave that to her. So they did. So it meant that after that, I just didn't feel anything.
Yeah, of course. But why did they give you the epidural at 9 centimetres dilated?
Because I had in my head that I just did not want to feel that end bit. I thought, if I feel this last bit, I'm just never going to do it again. So they did it, and it was good. I did slow down slightly.
Yeah, it does slow it down.
But not that much. And they gave me some sage oil to smell, which I didn't know anything about, but it must have worked. So I was only pushing for about 20 minutes, I think. I didn't actually feel the end. I didn't feel it. At the beginning, you know, the contractions and all that were obviously really bad, that I just zoned out.
Now, knowing you the way that I do, I can imagine and picture all of this process taking place, the silence, the just getting on with it, not wanting to feel. I know you so well. So the birthing stories are so different. And how did you feel once you'd actually given birth?
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Like, I really achieved something. But it was almost like, and now you're back in the room. Like, I'd gone through all of this, just not being there, out of it. I mean, my husband's fingers were bleeding because I'd been squeezing his hand that tight. He was in tears, and I wasn't. I was just like, whew.
And did you feel that instant bond and love with Axel?
I don't know. I think this is one of those really weird, discussions, because a lot of people don't feel that straight away. And I don't know, obviously felt relieved and amazed. And when they put him on me, I obviously looked down and I couldn't believe he was my son, and I had that thing. But I don't know if I got that like overwhelming sense of love straight away.
Did you suffer from any postnatal depression? Did you feel down about the birthing experience? Because sometimes they say when you go through a quick birth, it's almost just as traumatic as having a very long and traumatic, in inverted commas, long birth. They say because of the hormones are released much quicker, so then your whole body has to, instead of them drip feeding throughout 3 days or 2 days or however long it is, you know, in 4 or 6 hours, you get this overpowering kind of whoom.
Yeah, it was literally like wham bam done, home.
Yeah.
And suddenly I was home with a baby.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I felt particularly down. Maybe like day three I probably felt a bit down and was crying. But I remember the next day when the midwife came around, I was, you know, I've got this. Yeah, this is fine.
It's so Georgia. This is so Georgia.
This is, you know, I just guess, everyone's different.
You took it in your stride.
Yeah, I am just one of those people that I don't talk about things when they're really bad. I just go inwards. And I guess it kind of worked for birth, because I just went into myself and just got on with it.
Any stitches?
I did have stitches, but again, couldn't feel them because the epidural.
But obviously,
was still
afterwards,
there.
Of course, you can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a different story, isn't it?
Well, we're talking about the aftermath.
The days after were horrendous, and going to the toilet is another thing, and all of those awful things that come with it. It was not as bad as I'd psyched. You know, I thought it was going to be. That I'd always thought since I was probably like 16 that I'd built up what it was going to be like. like, and yeah. it definitely wasn't as bad. I know you definitely had a different experience.
Yeah, I'll be completely honest with you. I'm trying to zone out my first experience because I'm obviously going into my second experience very soon.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important now to kind of say, well, that was my first birthing experience, which was just very long. You know, it went on and on and on for 50 hours.
Wow.
And the baby, Luna, just wouldn't come out. I mean, my complications were I was a week early and I just wouldn't dilate.
Yeah.
So I'd been at home. I'd been walking around the park. It was a Saturday night. My waters had broken. And I remember getting back into bed and thinking that I'd wet myself. But actually, my waters,
yeah,
had
waters
broken.
Are broken.
And then on the Sunday, I spent the whole day walking around the park in Cheltenham. We went for lunch and this waitress came over and was like, "Are you okay? You look like you're in labour." And I was like, "I am. Hold on a second." And she was like, "She's having contractions." And I was like, "Will you just stay calm? I'm
yeah.
trying to stay calm. Do you remember?" And by the time I'd gone in, I thought in my head, oh, I must be 6 or 7 centimetres dilated by now because it'd been going on. And at that point, they were like, "You're just 1 centimetre dilated." But my contractions were so close together.
Yeah.
So, you know, after gas and air and diamorphine, and it was really traumatic on my body. And by Monday afternoon, I was still only 3, 4 centimetres dilated.
Wow.
And at that point, I pulled the plug, came out of the water, pulled the plug and said, "Get me to Gloucester Hospital where I need."
Yeah.
I was just like, "I need an epidural now," because I just couldn't take it. Luna had turned spine on spine, which is one of the most painful experiences
yeah.
in birth to go through. Obviously, I'd been vomiting off the diamorphine and I needed forceps, Vontus, episiotomy, epidural. And then eventually baby came at about 11:30 at night.
So everything.
I mean, it was really hardcore. I couldn't, you know, I had a catheter as well.
Ow.
And it was just, yeah, it was a really frightening experience for me because I, in my head, you know, we had done hypnobirthing. So I was really ready for this zen moment where the baby would, I wanted to give birth in the water because I'm such a water baby. And I wasn't prepared, I don't think, for the flip that happened.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of a key bit of advice to anybody that's about to go into labour is that, yes, I think having a plan is quite a good idea, but be prepared for that all to go out of the window.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things that don't, you know, write the story before it happens.
Yeah.
Because you never know what's going to happen. You know, you don't know. You might get stuck in the motorway on, you know, in traffic, and then you have to give birth on the side of the road.
Oh, God! Not that we're filling your heads with anything, but that might happen.
Yeah,
it might happen.
I think you just have to be prepared and know that, you know, it's all going to be all right.
Yeah, this time round, I haven't done much prep, but I'm prepping in my head. So I was obviously getting ready to have a C-section because the baby was breech. Baby's now turned. My placenta is now not lying low. So when I went in for my growth scan, you know, a week ago, they were like, "No, you're on for a natural birth. Get your head around it." So now I'm just prepping again to be like, it's not going to be as long as it was last time.
No,
my body knows
not.
What to do.
Yeah.
And we're just going to go for it and see what happens.
And it's going to be better because it has to be. You've got to think positively.
No, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And do you know what? I'm also really prepared for the aftermath now. I got really bad blues, bad blues a few weeks afterwards. And I just could not stop crying. And I remember on day 5 of the tears, just thinking, why am I still crying? And now I know it's the hormones.
Yeah, it is. I was talking to some girls yesterday and they're onto their second babies. They both had boys around the same time. And they were sort of saying that you feel really guilty, you know, the second time round, because you've already got a child to look after and then you're there, you know, emotions everywhere. And one of them said, "I actually got to that stage where I thought, no, can't do this, want to send you back." And
no,
that's
it happens.
Such an awful, you know, an awful thing to say, but I think we can all admit that we've all felt like that. You know, definitely probably like a week on, I thought to myself, wow, did I really think this through? Did I really realise how much this was going to change my life?
Yeah. All very, very natural thoughts to be thinking.
Yeah. And then you come out of it again and you get into your flow and then it's amazing.
Yeah. And I think it's key to remember that as well, that if you go through the dark times, there is light at the end of the tunnel.
There is.
So we sat down with Nadia Zawala, who is one of my favourite TV presenters. She's very opinionated. She came in to talk to us all about birth. She's got 2 very different home birth stories,
which were brilliant.
Oh, they were toe curling. Oh, I can't wait to hear this. She is a mother, she is an author, she's fresh from the, I can't say sofa, but stools at Loose Women. It's Nadia Zwala. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you for having me. It's just the best thing, isn't it, for women to just talk about their births again?
Yes.
Because, you know, I'm a lot older than you girls. You know, I'm 53 now. I was a late starter because my second baby was, I was 42. But I feel I don't talk about my births really anymore because I'm past that age. So it's really nice to take a little journey back.
Oh, go for it. Yeah. You've got two kids.
I've got two. I'm a stepmom to two, and I have two with Mark. And both of my children were home births. So, I mean, that in itself is quite unusual, being an older mum as well, because I was 38 with my first baby. And I mean, you would have thought the world was going to stop turning, you know, the medics, because you are called, I can't remember what the terminology is.
Geriatric.
Yeah, you're called a geriatric mother.
You are, if you're over 35, you're called a geriatric mother.
Yeah. Yeah. So they and then a first baby as well, to say that you want to have them at home is that they're sort of outraged and horrified. So I went totally down the alternative route. I had a what are they called? These midwives? I can't remember now what they're called.
Doulas.
No, it's not a doula, but it's an independent midwife. So therefore, it's nothing to do with the NHS. You pay for, I think it's about £1,200, and they can do all the things that you're maybe not allowed to do in hospitals.
So
we let you go longer and all that stuff.
I was going to say, were they saying to you, the NHS midwife saying to you, you know, definitely don't have a home birth. You need to come into hospital, have baby there. Or were you adamant that you wanted to give birth at home?
I didn't get as far as talking to the NHS midwives, but right at the beginning, the very first appointment I had with the doctor, there was that tone. So I just never went back to the doctor. I never went to the doctor again.
Did you have scans and stuff, though?
Yeah. I had one scan, but I was just trying to do minimum intervention of any sort. So, you know... which is crazy when I think of my whole life was all about Jack Daniels or gin to take away the pain. And then I suddenly thought, well, no, I won't have any painkillers. I won't have anything, when I did the hardest thing in my entire life.
What was the thought process behind that?
Well, I'd always been holistic. I'd used homeopathy for 20 years previously. My sister had already had, who Georgia knows well, two children at home. So I had a really positive impression of it. And I do passionately believe that women, we're not ill. You know, if your blood pressure is great and everything's going fine, then you don't. I didn't want to go into hospital. I've been one of these people. I'm the last person to go to the doctor. I hate to go into hospital. I hate a doctor's waiting room. So all of those things are going to inform, I felt, how I was then going to be if I went into... Why would I suddenly go to hospital? Mm. So I wanted to be in my own home. I live next door to my parents. We're a very close family. And it's so funny because I'm saying, I. But of course, my poor husband had no say in this. You know, we were talking about this the other day, actually. It was just never up for question. I was not going to have my baby in hospital under any circumstance whatsoever. And even just jumping a little forward ahead, but I'll take you through the horrors that even after 3 days, because I believe yours first one was 3 days away. And they were saying there is an ambulance waiting. I was like, no, I am not going to hospital. She's not being born in hospital.
So you stopped yourself going to hospital, even though you were advised to?
Well, the thing was, there was nothing wrong with the heartbeat, though she wasn't in distress, but it was almost Christmas Day.
You were desperate to have your turkey.
No, I wasn't. Everyone else wanted to have Christmas Day, so suddenly there was an ambulance available. But of course, I was in such a strange funk. I had no idea that it was Christmas Day, because when I was given my due date, I was like, oh, I wonder if she'll come on Boxing Day. Oh, I wonder if she'll do it. Never occurred to me she would come on Christmas Day.
So she was born. So just talk us through that birthing experience, the first one.
Well, the first one, on my due date, I suddenly got a contraction, you know, the beginnings. And I think because my husband had been through it a couple of times before, he was like, oh, you know, it'll be okay. Oh, it's probably nothing. But I mean, I definitely was. And we invited our midwife to come in. And I didn't like my midwife. And she came and told me, yes, I was early stage. I can't remember the exact details. I'd say it's a long time ago. She's 15 now, Maddie. And so she did that thing where they go away again. And I wish now I'd had a gin and tonic. Because with my second baby, my hypnotherapist did say have a gin and tonic. I thought nobody said that to me with my first baby.
Well, you can't. In fact, they told me that at my NCT classes.
Did they?
They said to have a bath, have a gin and tonic or a glass of champagne. Yeah. And then watch a musical.
Well, I know
that's exactly
well,
what they said.
It
did.
In all times of horror, I watch Disney. I mean, when I have the most terrible hangover, you know, the kind where you just want to die, I put on Disney and it makes everything all right. So I can see the sanity in that. And the thing is, a large gin and tonic, a triple gin and tonic even, is not going to affect your baby. You know, you could be on the road to having pethidine or
morphine.
Yeah, yeah. So why did I not turn to Jack Daniels? I will never know.
So because first I certainly tip, did when I was have a gin and tonic.
First thing is have a large drink and then have another one. Because the thing is, you immediately get tense, you get overexcited, however much you've heard, you know, you're in for the long run, it's a marathon, go slow and then go slower, just go to bed and go to sleep. Of course you're not, you know, it's so exciting. And because it was 3 days, I was totally, totally exhausted by the end of it. So I think if I'd had a couple of drinks, I would have helped you. Yeah, probably, actually, now I'm thinking about it, probably red wine would have been good, because you know how that can make you a bit moosey.
Yeah, make you a bit sleepy.
Yeah.
A bit relaxed, wine. A bit sexy.
Red wine. Yes,
sexy.
Well, I did consider sex because, well, actually, I'll save that for my second birth.
So the outcome, obviously, it was a long journey to get there, and you do say that your first birth was very traumatic.
Yeah, it really was. Awful. It's funny, actually, after she had come and I just was saying to her, I just can't understand it. You know, I mean, all the yoga and, you know, eating really well and resting. He went, yeah, but did you actually do any of that? And I thought about it. I thought, well, I paid for the yoga. I had the books about nutrition. I planned to give up work 6 weeks before. I didn't do any of it. I didn't do any of it. If there was an argument, I was right in the middle of it. I was stressed. I was just carrying on like everything was exactly the same. But I was in denial because I wasn't doing any of the stuff that I knew made sense. So I didn't go to, I think I went to 2 birthing classes and it was just the most boring thing I'd ever been to. So I didn't go back.
Yep.
You know, breathing was just rubbish. I didn't know about the surge and the wave and all of that that I found out about for my second birth. And every contraction that came, I screamed and said, no!
Oh,
and
Nadia.
Brought my arms in and closed my body down and said no. And I was petrified. And, you know, it went on. I didn't know whether it was a day, a week, a year. I didn't know anything. I often refer to it as a survivor of torture. And I truly, they would be hard pressed to do in a torture chamber what that is like if you're unprepared.
Mm. If you're unprepared, I think is the key sentence there.
Yeah, I was unprepared. I'd worked up to the last minute. I was tight. I was stressed. I was exhausted. Mm. I'd made every mistake in the book and I hadn't really listened to many other women talking about it. And even as I sit here, I'm not sure whether I should be talking about it or I shouldn't be talking about it. Do we frighten women? Are we informing women? What are we doing? It's an interesting one.
Informing.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting that you say that you were meant to give up work a few weeks before, but you didn't. Because I actually gave up work 6 weeks before I ended up having Axel, and I had a really good experience. Yeah. But that wasn't something I did consciously.
Yeah.
That was just because we moved house, and I had to. And that was probably a really good decision because really, if we'd have been in London and stayed in London, I'd have probably stayed working right up until the end. Like, they actually tell you to do that, I think.
Yeah, well, you see, I have changed my opinion so much on that. So, if you're going to run a marathon, look at the preparation that goes into run a marathon. And I've run the London Marathon twice, okay, and all the advice you're given and resting up. The London Marathon is a piece of piss compared to childbirth. And I think we are very much in an age where we are all multitasking and we're achieving and we want to achieve something else. And oh yeah, and all this. Oh, I was up after the baby, you know, 2 days later scrubbing the house. Well, you're insane.
Insane.
Yeah. Because they say if your wound was on the outside, people would be running, screaming, calling doctors, calling ambulances. Mm. If you could see on the outside what's going on the inside, the old days, you stayed 2 weeks in bed. That was for a reason, and you are supposed to rest before before you give birth.
Do you know what's really interesting? Last week, so obviously there hasn't been that much time between my first and obviously the second baby that's coming. So 18 months. It's not huge amounts of time. It's all right, but I think just in terms of mental preparation, I've been sort of really, really putting a lid on the birth. You know, the first birth, obviously very traumatic for me. Yeah. I feel quite similar experiences, actually, although I was in the hospital. And only last week did I have my first session of hypnobirthing for this birth, getting ready for this birth. It was the best 3 hours. I should have done it. I should have been doing months and weeks ago, because she's completely pressed the reset button. But also all of this trauma came out, and I found myself crying quite a lot and really processing what my body went through and what I went through. And also what's come out of it now is this birth is going to be completely different. That's what I keep thinking.
I'm moved for you, because my second one was incredible. Yes.
Oh, that's what we want to hear.
So tell us the difference.
Well, the difference with the second one was I rested, I ate well, I actually went to yoga and didn't just pay for it. I was very protective of myself. We're a very fiery family, and if anything was kicking off, I'd say, excuse me, my baby. I made sure that I lay on the left. I didn't do any of this lying back, which gives you the back-to-back baby, all of that sort of stuff. I just did everything that you are supposed to do to get a good holistic birth. I actually had a hypnotherapist, and I actually had her come to the house, which is a good job, because I couldn't stop laughing, because all she kept saying was, imagine your vagina is buttery. Butter, butter, butter. And my poor husband, it was just the two of us, and he had tears streaming down her face. But my God, that was a good image. And she taught me that instead, if you think of the word contraction, you think of it closing.
Yes.
Right? What incredible scent. So I was banned. I did not say the word contraction.
Surges.
And a lot of people have a lot of trouble with that surge. It did work for me. It was a wave. So I did the envisaging the wave. Because if you think of a wave, you get to the top and it always has to come back down. Whereas in my first birth, I was lost in the hell of the contraction. I couldn't feel a beginning, middle and end. Was it going to go on forever? It would stop immediately. It would come again. And so that was incredible. I didn't have the midwife with me this time. I was on my own with my husband and my friend. So
you had no one with you?
I had no one there until the last hour.
It gives me the heebies.
Me too.
Because I knew that strangers or people that I didn't feel really comfortable with, I'd always decided I was going to do that. So basically what happened with my second birth is I had my friend come.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
And stay with me, that was also my homeopath, and she was coming for a week, and she was going to be my doula, and she was going to be everything. And we were getting, she'd been there 5 days, and I didn't want her to leave. So I said, come on, what's a trick to get the baby going? So she said, well, it could be quite uncomfortable, but you can do it. So it was a mixture of orange juice, Epsom salts, and cod liver oil. It's an old fashioned thing that apparently midwives used to do. Well, I took this big glass, and you have to drink it all down in one. And then we just settled down and I watched two series of Rick Stein's Mediterranean. And I was in, because I got the shits really bad. You just kept going. And what it does is it triggers the contractions.
Oh, so is that the same as going for a curry? Eating loads of spicy food?
Exactly. Having loads of sex?
Yeah. Well, that doesn't give you the shits, I don't think.
Thank God.
We've gone into perversions now. I think it's probably around the same thing, but I never know anyone that the curry worked for.
No,
I've never known. But this works like you have never known. I mean, I decided I had to go into labour that night, and in that night I was in labour. Wow. I sat on the toilet the whole way through with my husband's hands on my shoulders, doing the counting that we'd done in hypnotherapy. So it was with each contraction counting through. Now, when we were doing that in the lesson, I thought, well, this isn't going to work. I also did do every single day the tape where I'd fall asleep lying on the left-hand side and listen to the hypnotherapy. Yeah. I always fell asleep after 2 seconds, but apparently it doesn't matter. It still goes in. So I sat on the toilet and Mark would, as the contraction started, he would push his hands down onto my shoulders as hard as he could and he would count 1, 2. And my friend was just in the background, just there if I need. And he was not allowed to move for about 6 hours. And I stayed on that toilet.
Just sitting on the loo?
1, 2. No, but also I'd said over and over again, and I actually talked about this on the Matthew Wright show, the Channel 5 show. And apparently that is now used on the hypnobirthing film for the NHS. They lifted it from the Matthew Wright show because I talk about what I did, which was, as he was counting, I would say, I'd spread my legs and go, open! And because of that, your body opens. Open! I said it over and over for hours and hours. I never said no. I said yes. Yes. So as the contraction came, yes, because it's bringing me my baby. My baby's literally coming on this wave. Because by the time Maddie was born, the traumatic birth, I was like, no, no. I was pushing away I'd gone into fight or flight. Because what happens is when you're scared, the blood just disappears from wherever it's not needed. So the uterus becomes very tight because you don't need your uterus to run away. But if you're going, yes, and I'm open and bring it. Sounds quite sexual. No,
my vagina is butter.
If you've just joined this podcast, I'm sorry. And I was going, buttery, buttery, buttery. And then there was a point when Mark wanted to have a wee and he said, I've got to go to the toilet. And I just said, and this is the power of the goddess of woman in labour, I went to my friend, bucket. Bring him a bucket. And he had to keep his hands on and she had to help him with his penis so he could wee into the bucket.
No way.
Because he could not take his hands off my shoulders.
George has literally gone the colour of
Beatrice. Picture it.
Yeah.
So
wow,
funny.
And that worked for you. And then
when we really knew to come, we called the midwife. Then I went into the sitting room and I just bent over the sofa. And the first time, and then when she arrived, as she was coming through, you know, the ring of fire, the dreaded ring of fire. What's that? When the baby crowns and you get the ring of fire.
I didn't feel that.
Yeah, I didn't feel it either. Yeah.
Well, the ring of fire, you just don't. It will come and hear my voice, ladies. It will pass. Know that the ring of fire is your baby is nearly there. So it's like it is a full on burning feeling, but she's or he is coming. So if you just positively reframe this and say, this is the final door, here she comes, you can bear it. But I took some gas and air in that moment and it was gorgeous. And it was just like, oh, I went really high. It was just like the best first glass of champagne, the best gin and tonic, the best first cigarette. All of that happened just with the ring of fire. And it was just brilliant because I'd saved it. I hadn't had anything up until that point.
A lot of women describe that as, you know, being in that zone moment where they're sort of, it's almost like an outer body experience that they get. Did you experience something similar?
Oh, that was the sound. I can still hear it. And just, we got this amazing communication, my husband, my friend and homeopath, where I was just signalling. Then my daughter woke up and my daughter came down and looked at the last few moments. Is she coming? And it was just amazing. And then I'd had 3 miscarriages. So when she was actually born, and I'd been told there was no way I was going to have another baby at 42. They said, you will miscarry with every child, with every pregnancy you have. Mm-hmm. And there was this baby, and I will never forget it. And again, because we were in that tight, it was, the midwife was there, but it was still this 3 of us. And my friend took the exact photo of when my husband went, oh my God, she's here. Because we didn't actually believe she was coming. We always thought we would lose her. So there she was. And at that moment, the sun poured through the window on her, on us. And you know what? My other daughter was born exactly upstairs in exactly the same line. If you put a pole through... And we think that's where the spa is. We live in a spa area. We think that's why I was drawn to those 2 spots. I had to get to those 2 spots. There was nothing that was going to stop me getting to those 2 spots. Though I wasn't aware where I was. It was just a goddess thing. I was just, that was the place.
Oh, that is incredible. I know,
I've got goosebumps. Yeah, I know, gosh.
It was incredible. And then the beautiful thing about being home, you know, I wanted lamb chops, so Mark went and cooked me lamb chops.
My mum, the first meal.
Yeah. You don't get that in hospital.
Yeah, my mum and dad were next door and came round immediately. And then, so they were holding her within minutes. And it was just incredible.
What was the difference in feelings post first birth to post second in terms of that moment that you actually held your daughters? Did you have any sort of different feelings of love?
Yeah, my first baby, Maddie, who is just my absolute angel. She is just the most extraordinary child. I just adore her. But when she landed, I was so traumatized. I was a survivor of torture, you know. I just looked at her and I didn't know what she was. I didn't know who she was. She had really wide apart eyes. We've talked about this. I'm not being brutal. She's a great beauty now. And I just thought, oh my God, she's an alien. Maybe she'll go back from where she came, from whence she came.
Do you know what? We've had so many people talk about not getting that overwhelming sense of love straight away. And it's so interesting. Actually, no one we've spoken to has said that they had it.
Well, with my second baby, it wasn't like I picked up this baby and I loved this baby. It was better than that because it was a love that was absolutely in every corner of the room. It was just like, it was just like the rush was so incredible when she came out, and it was just right round the whole room. So it was just like, if you were to picture it, it'd just be like colours just going, sounds like I'm raving.
What did you take?
That gas and air.
It was one shot of gas and air and buttery fanny that did it. And it was totally phenomenal, to the point where 2 days later I was saying, I think I could have another baby.
So that's the amazing...
But with Maddie, it took 4 years.
Wow.
To be able to say I could do it again. I think you're going to have a similar thing with
that. That's the amazing birth experience that my hypnotherapist was talking about last week, Rosie. She was saying, this is going to be an amazing experience for you. And I said, just describe that, because I have no concept or idea of what an amazing birth experience is, because my first one was far from, it was the opposite of amazing.
Yeah.
And so we went through exactly what her birthing plan, and it was something similar to this. And she said, you're going to get that rush and you're going to feel euphoric, and that might happen to me in two weeks.
Oh yeah. No, I think I've got a feeling that is going to happen for you, actually. Just looking, I've got a feeling, and I kept listening to those stories, and I kept listening to those positive, because I didn't listen to anything. So I was in trauma, and I was just frightened at the first one. And then the second one, I decided I'm just going to listen to really positive things, and I'm going to ask for the birth that I want. I would fall asleep and say, I want this birth, and I want her. I'm not pushing her. I'm not at any point going to push. I'm going to breathe this baby out, which they talk about in hypnotherapy, and I did that. I wasn't doing that.
I didn't do any hypnobirthing at all. So this is all completely new to me. But it's so interesting, because I think I might have done some of these things myself anyway.
Tell us yours, because yours is really interesting.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we've spoken about it obviously earlier when the two of us were chatting. But I was induced. So everyone says that's all terrible. But because I didn't really know what induction was, I didn't really know what that meant. My mum said I walked up to the hospital like I was going in for a hair appointment.
That's so like, you torture, isn't it?
Oh, hi, yeah, I'm built in for 11 o'clock. And in I went. And then, you know, they did the induction, they did the pessary. An hour later, I was in labour. And then 6 hours later, Axel was born. And I had an epidural when I was 9 centimetres. So I did the whole thing without any pain relief.
Why did you have an epidural?
Because I didn't want the ring of fire. Like, literally, so in my head, the whole way through, all I was thinking was, right, I need to just get to this point. I just need to get to this point, and then I'm going to have it, because then it won't be worn off.
I didn't think you were allowed to do
that. Well, you're not. But I just said I didn't no I didn't pay, but I just didn't speak the whole way through. I just like kept lifting my arm up, and that's all I was doing, was just lifting my arm up as
Georgia
I was getting
didn't make
the
any
contractions.
No sounds at all.
Zero sounds. Wow. My mum and James, my husband, Scientologist. My mum and James, my husband, were reading magazines to me, and all I can remember is my mum going, "Well, this swartum you should be wearing this, this, and this," and then that was it. It was done.
But you see, there are many. The thing is, I think lots of women can have those births. My problem, maybe if I had not... See, the thing is, that is natural, truly natural childbirth. But some people have to learn it.
Yeah.
You had it naturally in you.
Yeah,
as a
I wasn't
gift.
Panicking.
You had it as a gift. And it breaks my heart that you had a blimmin' epidural.
I know.
The Ring of Fire's not that bad.
Yeah, but I just always knew. And then the stitches after, I thought, oh, well, I'm not going to feel them if I've had the epidural as well.
But you don't always have to have stitches.
Well, I did.
I didn't have stitches.
Did you not?
No.
Well, I did.
Oh, the second one I did, strangely, I did with Kiki, but it was kind of a graze stitch. It wasn't like the big, you know, the big shebang.
Let's talk about the aftermath of, let's talk about the second birth, because it feels like that's the one that's really kind of been the pinnacle and the absolute sort of dream birth scenario. By that point, obviously having had Maddie, did you feel like, I've got this now, you know?
I thought I could have another baby. What, you mean before I went into labour?
No, as in after you'd had the baby, did you feel, right, I'm a natural mother now, you know, I know how to do it. Even though the first one was traumatic, were you still winging it?
You're still winging it to a degree, you know. And you know, I had terrible trouble with breastfeeding with both of them. And I'd got to a point where I could breastfeed without having a tequila shot with the first one. And so I thought, I'll be able to do the second one. And it was just a brand new stranger in the house. Mm-hmm. You know, so that 3 o'clock in the morning, listening to the shipping forecast, which I've never listened to before in my life.
The shipping forecast?
It's the only thing on the radio
at
that time.
Yeah, it's the radio. And I'd be the loneliness of having a strange house guest that I didn't know what they wanted or how to give it, because I didn't know what they liked for breakfast or how they liked to take breakfast or whether they liked a pillow or whether they didn't like. They are just strangers. And I think that is really important to say that to women, because we do all carry the guilt that we didn't just feel all the connections all at once. They are strangers in your house and they're not going to leave.
Ever.
But bear with it. Take it a minute at a time sometimes and you will get to know each other. You are not born knowing it. They are not born you knowing everything about them, for sure. And that continues right into, believe me, I'm with teenagers now, believe me.
Oh, yeah? Not easier, no. Were there any products or any brands or any particular kind of, you know, whether it was a pram or any thing that you had in your home which you just couldn't live without that you need to share with us?
Well, I couldn't live without my homeopathic birthing kit, because I was having homeopathic remedies all the way through both my labours. And they were, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have even considered doing my labour without a homeopathic birth kit.
So for someone who doesn't come from like a homeopathic background, if I definitely want to go down that route, where do I look? Like, how do I find someone?
Well, you would need to speak to a homeopath. You would go to something like the Royal Homeopathic Society to make sure you're getting a proper homeopath, a properly trained homeopath. And you would need to have homeopathic sessions before you went into labour.
Right,
okay. Because you could have, they could be 10 different remedies for this, you know, a contraction. And it just depends how they're looking at you holistically. So there's no way I would have done without that.
Do you give your children homeopathic remedies?
Yes. Yeah. My children are homeopathically treated. We the whole family is,
Same as us.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, my homeopath, like, he's sort of like a second dad to me.
Oh, how
and
lovely.
He's been looking after us since we were sort of 6 or 7. And I had really bad glandular fever when I was a kid.
So did I.
Did you?
Yeah, really bad. I was off school for like 2 terms.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, how weird. And now Luna takes Chinese herbs every night, and she obviously has her, it's like a... Well,
constitutional remedy.
And also, I can't think of it now because I've got no brain left. But acidophilus for her stomach and all that kind of stuff. So she's a big homeopathic girl already.
Oh. Yeah. Well, it can be incredibly, you know, when your baby wakes up in the middle of the night screaming in teething pain, you can't get to a doctor and you can get a remedy. It is extraordinary, because I was a non-believer. I was a complete non-believer, and then I saw my nephew, who Georgia, you know, Zach, when he was 2 years old and he had an abscess and he was lying on the floor, smashing his head on the floor. He was in such agony. And we popped the homeopathic pill for that into his mouth, and 5 minutes later he was asleep where he had been banging his head. So it's a very, for me, it's a very, it's not for everyone, but for me it's very powerful.
Do you believe as well, you know, in the aftermath of having a baby, it's kind of, it's a good thing to turn to? It feels like a really natural kind of warm hug to turn to if you need, if you need any help as a mum after going through what you've gone through. It is, it's a good, well, good place
after,
to turn.
After my first baby, and I often wonder how different it might have been if my homeopath had been there, you know, I couldn't talk to anyone. My darkest thoughts were so dark, and I was so depressed, and I was so broken. I felt like I'd been run over and then reversed back over. And I remember lying in my bed whispering to her about, you know, I escaped, and I was as mad as a March hare, you know. I was exhausted, I hadn't slept, you know, a lot of that, no food, no sleep. It was Christmas Day, you know. We all had, my sister who'd been with me for 3 days got up 5 o'clock in the morning, Maddie was born, she went next door and cooked a full Christmas dinner for 10 people.
I can imagine that.
And then I had to go over with a baby and do Christmas, so I was in a very bad emotional place after. And my homeopath, had known so much about me before, was just such a constant, because even with really close friends, even my sisters, I didn't want to say how bad I felt and how scared I felt and how, what would I do with this child, what would I do with this baby, when was she going to go back? I'd wake up in the middle of the night and she'd be there just staring at me, and I'd just be like, oh my god, what does she want?
Like, in so many women, so yeah, many women go through that.
I used to wake up in the morning and be like, oh, it's happened, oh yeah, I'm not living in a dream, he's here and he's next to me. Wow, how did that happen?
Yeah, I remember once talking to my husband and then saying, oh my god, and he was like looking at me, what? He already knew I was bonkers. And I said, how many in the house? And I'd completely forgotten that I had a baby. And it, of course, it was her. She was in her bed behind us. But I had just had a presence. There was someone else in the house. But, you know, when you're 38, you've had a pretty long life without having a baby.
Yeah, of course.
So it is a shock. Do you know what? It's all right to say it is the most shocking thing that will ever happen to you. And if you think about shock with anything, when somebody dies, any sort of thing, it takes a while to settle back in. And that would be my, I think, the most important thing to say to a woman that's having a baby. Just let it settle. It will take a little time.
And having two, it's a breeze, right?
Your second one's going to be fantastic. Do you know what? I'm almost jealous of your birth, because you're doing, earlier you said, I should have been doing this earlier. Take all shoulds out of everything now. You are doing everything in the right way. You are going to have a great birth. Every time you can, lie down, listen to the tape, rest, and more rest. And you're going to have a great birth.
Thank
and remember,
you.
Open.
My vagina is buttery.
So other than your homeopathic kit, what else did you absolutely need during your labour? So did you have a ball? Did you have a birthing pool? Did you have a ball? Did you have anything that you would really recommend?
I had a birthing ball. I had a pool, which was a complete disaster, because my husband had to spend so much of his time, my first birth, actually dealing with the pool that was leaking. It was horrendous. When I got into the pool, because I really imagined that I was going to have a water birth, because everything in my life feels better if I go and have a bath, if I'm depressed, if I'm happy, if I want sex, if I don't want sex, whatever, I get in a bath. But I got into the pool and it was like I was being electrocuted. It increased the contractions so strongly that I was screaming. I had to be got back. So just the reason I'm telling that is, you've got to understand that not everything goes to plan. So then I began dealing with my total sense of failure whilst I was in love. I was going to have a water bath. Now I'm not having a water bath. Let it go. If it doesn't work, it's okay. Get out. And it doesn't matter. But the birthing ball was really useful at the beginning. If nothing else, just trying to stay on it.
Just the balancing act. How long can I balance on this ball for?
Yeah. I had one of those little fan things.
Oh, yeah, for your face.
I'd like to say that was great, but it wasn't. I wanted to take it and shove it up my husband's arse because it was so irritating.
Did you have any oils?
Oils, no, I didn't have oils. I didn't want oils rubbed on, but I did have things like neroli and geranium. But my sister was very much passing those back and forth across my nose, and I didn't know what they would do to bring you back, to revive you. And she said that I responded quite well to them, but I don't really remember. What else? Do you mean just in birth?
Or just after, like salt baths or anything like that?
After birth, I was so sore that people talk about using a jug of water to pour it over their nun as their... That wasn't enough for me. So I had to run a bath every single time I wanted to wee. So if you're really, really, really sore, sit in the bath.
That's a good tip.
Because then it totally dilates the urine so it doesn't sting. And again, I used, you know, essential oils, and I used a lot of arnica. I mean, all for days afterwards, arnica for bruising and aconite for shock.
Aconite,
yeah.
That's a good tip.
And I really like the Kiehl's body lotion, the one for really, really dry skin. I know. I used that a lot when I was actually pregnant. It's so bizarre. I got stretch marks at every point in my life, but not when I was pregnant. It's so
weird,
strange.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that is strange. I think I did as well. I had them in puberty, and then when I got pregnant, none.
No, nothing.
Yeah.
I think wax earplugs, not the ones that pop, not the foam ones, because they pop out. Not a lot of people know about the wax ones.
Yeah, you push them in and mould them, don't you?
Yeah, so they're rolled in cotton wool. So if somebody is going to take the baby off for you and it's been fed and everything, so that you don't hear them cry. Mm. If somebody else has got them, put those in so you don't hear them cry, so you can get a proper sleep.
Just a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Okay, minutes. Well, writing that
You've
down now.
Wax.
Whenever I have to share a room with Axel, I do that.
Oh, God. So not, we had to do that on Saturday night, and I was why is she making noise at 5 o'clock in the morning?
You need earplugs.
Nadia, thank you so much. What an absolute joy. I love your honesty. I feel like I've left
today. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I hope that there is information in there, but I hope there's also empowerment, because I think as women, we can really, really empower each other to have the birth we all dream of.
You know, I'm going to be thinking about you and solely you in 2 weeks' time. We're going, open!
You'll be amazed how many people in my life come up to me and say that, because they've seen the film where I talk about that, and they say it worked. It will work for you.
Okay, I'm doing it.
It will. Thank you so much,
Nadia.
Thank you for taking an old lady back to those blissful days. Thanks, girls.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So as we did last week, at the end of every single podcast, we're going to talk about our 5 must-have favourite products. And the first one that I'm going to be talking about this week, George is sort of shaking her head at me.
I'm covering my ears and cringing out.
Oh, stop it. It's called the Yoni Egg. I don't know if you've heard of these. Basically, they are all to do with strengthening your pelvic floor, because as you know, after having a baby, it's shot to pieces. Well, mine is anyway. So these are basically glass eggs that you put inside, you insert them inside the vagina, and you basically use all of your pelvic floor muscles to keep them inside. So I wouldn't recommend walking around outside of your house. Like, don't pop to the supermarket with these in. But you know, if you can keep them inside for sort of 10 to 15 minutes every single day and just really clench around them, they are absolute miracle workers in toning up that area. Because I'll be honest with you, I mean, my personal experience with pelvic floor, mine, I literally don't have any left now. Like, I wee myself all the time, and it's really embarrassing, you know. Or I go to the loo when I stand up, you know, I think I've done everything, I stand up, and then, you know, a little bit of wee comes out. It's not a highlight of my life currently, so I can't wait to get back into these post this baby, because I feel like it might even be worse.
It's so important.
You can buy them on Amazon. They're not that expensive, and definitely worth investing in.
For me, maternity pads, when I left the hospital, I didn't realise just how much you needed them. You know, people talk about bleeding after. I thought, oh, it would just be like a period. But it's not. It's a lot more. So, don't underestimate how many maternity pads you need. I just got them from Boots and they were great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a key statement. Don't underestimate how many you need.
Yeah, exactly. Because some people can bleed for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, so you need to be prepared for that, definitely. So the next product, well, it's a bit of a luxury thing to do, but it's definitely essential after you've had a baby. Salt baths. If you've had any experience with episiotomies and you've got stitches down there, you know, the best way to heal is using salt. Obviously, don't go too aggressive on the kitchen salt, but you can just open up your kitchen cupboard if you haven't gone out and specifically bought any, and just when you're running a hot bath, just put a load of salt in there, because you do heal up quicker.
Yeah, that's a really good tip, actually. Another healer is Anusol. I'd never heard of it before I was pregnant, and I thought that hemorrhoids were really, you know, something that only old men maybe got. And then I remember the midwife coming round, and I'd be like, oh, I had to do a poo and it would really hurt. It was horrible. And I could hear my mum laughing because she told me that this was going to happen. I just chose to not believe her. But yeah, you need it. Yeah. I think most people suffer afterwards.
Still, I'm still suffering now.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be in your bathroom cabinet.
Yeah, it really does. And also another tip with Anusol, once you've sorted out your hemorrhoids out, you can use it underneath your eyes.
Yeah.
It's really good at shrinking black bags underneath your eyes, because obviously it tightens.
That's what it does, it shrinks.
Yeah, the blood vessels and stuff. So, you know, once you've sorted your bum out, you can sort your face out. And I think another key product for us is Lanisol. So it's all to do with nipple prep. If you are going to breastfeed, you need to make sure that before you have the baby, you're using this product a lot on your nipple to kind of soften up, make sure that your nipples are ready for breastfeeding. And then also in between every single breastfeed, just slather this stuff on, because
you
your nipples get so sore. Again, don't underestimate the oozing, the bleeding. Not many women take to breastfeeding like that.
No.
I
they
definitely
don't.
I didn't.
No. And also, you can use it as a lip balm.
Thank you so much for listening. If you did enjoy it, we'd love you to subscribe, rate and review what you heard today, because it kind of helps us reach out to other people. Of course, you can get in touch with us anytime you like via the website madebymamas.com. You can also contact us and send us messages at my Instagram, which is at Zoe Hardman, or at Made by Mamas.
So all the products that we spoke about today will be up on the website, so take a look at that.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.